Welcome to Day Zero Update for August 6, 2023. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkin.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And yeah, we've got a pretty decent week this week.
Oh, yeah.
Not a ton of news. We got two events that are happening this week, two showcases for two very different things.
Yep.
We got some news here of a new firmware update coming to the PS5 here in the near future. We got, you know, Wii U multiplayer servers coming back for the first time in months for a couple games. We'll tell you how much Tears of the Kingdom has sold. And it's doing pretty well.
Oh, yes.
And one of the most notable or infamous platforms of the Gamergate era of media is shutting down. After 15 years of a service, you know, before Gamergate even started, but they hit their biggest part of the zeitgeist about 10 years ago. And then we'll end with a little fall release preview here of games coming out at least in August and September. Started getting long, and I was like, we'll break this out a little bit because a lot of stuff's coming in those 2 months. Before we do any of that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing some Baldur's Gate 3 on the PC.
I hate you, and I hope you die.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge game, so you're going to have to make sure you got plenty of space on your PS5.
Yeah, it's like 100-something gigabytes, isn't it?
Yeah, they recommend having at least 150 free. I think it's 123 on PC. So probably around that on a PS5.
Yep.
Yeah, started up a save here. Have played maybe about 3 to 4 hours of it.
Yeah.
So far, basically still getting through the early parts of the game.
Yeah.
As I'm trying to figure out what all I'm doing here.
Yeah.
For that, so that's been a pretty fun time. I've played a decent bit of Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2, so I have a little bit of experience with this stuff, but not too much for that stuff. But yeah, I haven't played with the controllers, just mouse and keyboard so far. I might switch over to controllers just to see how that all goes. I've heard the UI stuff looks pretty nice with the controller.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you are, this is a D&D game, so you are starting off making a character. They have a handful of characters you can start off with on your own.
There is one I suggest that apparently both Larian Studios and a lot of other people are suggesting that you don't do until you've played the game at least once, and that's the Sinister Urge. Because the Sinister Urge is basically a, like, chaotic evil all the time, and it's a real struggle trying to keep him from just doing random acts of violence. So, and keep in mind, like, again, this is a D&D game, which means that there's, you know, skill checks and stuff like that happening. So, know what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's a weird little thing. You get, like, a little intro to those characters. They talk like what their grievances are or their motivations are for whatever they're going to be doing. So you can kind of pick some of those characters. I made my own. Essentially made Hawk from Cobra Kai. So a human monk with kind of a, it's not really a mohawk, but it's kind of close enough for what I could get. With some face paint on there. The character creator is fine. It's not anything amazing to it. You don't really have any control over, like, face dimensions or anything really beyond just pick one of, like, six faces for your character. You can do a bunch of hair and all that kind of stuff, but you can't really have too much in the way of control over, you know, length or any of that stuff. You kind of have some fairly simplistic options. You can at least do, like, highlights in the hair stuff, so you can kind of get a little bit of extra stuff there, some graying kind of stuff. But I was trying to get, like, a a good like red hair with like black roots kind of stuff, but that didn't seem like something I could do easily. So just worked with what I had, and then they have you, you know, pick out some origin stuff that affects, you know, additional abilities and such that you'll deal with. So I have a monk who has some better like athletic kind of ability type stuff, a lot of things like that. So works out pretty well. You pick a guardian after that, which is like setting up a second character. So I made Dimitri, who's his best buddy on the show, though you don't even get to pick a name for them. So I'm assuming they get killed off or something, but I haven't even run into that character yet. So, but the beginning of the game, you're on this big Mind Flayer ship, which if you know the Mind Flayers, they're very much Cthulhu creatures that can mind control you, essentially.
Pretty much, and the way that they make other Mind Flayers is not pleasant.
Yeah, they take what these like tadpole little worm.
That's literally
things.
What they're called, tadpoles.
Yeah, and they stick it in your eyes.
Yeah, or rather the tadpole sort of crawls its way through into behind your eyes. Yeah, it's very gross.
Yeah, you get to see that at the very beginning of the game.
Yep.
In a way that's not fun, but that's sort of one of the main concerns early on is, one, how do we get off this ship that's been attacked by dragons and fucked up pretty good?
Which it seems to be a weirdly like recurring theme with Larian Studios games, because that's actually how both of the Divinity Original Sins games start out as. You're on a ship and you got to find out how to get off of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that keeps happening. It's I guess it's sort of like, you know, Elder Scrolls, where you always start off as a prisoner. You know, who gets it?
Yeah, it's nice for a kind of good set piece section there. So you get your first bit of control and you can like look out the big hole and it's like, oh, this place got messed up pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And being a Mind Flayer ship, all the doors are called sphincters and they look like it.
Yeah, they're basically just giant anuses that act as doors. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing about everything about the Mind Flayers, is everything about them is just very unpleasant.
Yeah. So yeah, you get to do some combat there for a bit. I knocked one guy out and he did not revive, so I was like, all right, I'll just leave him there. Didn't really care, but found a character trapped in one of the pods like what we had.
Yeah.
You and one of the other characters that I think is one of the ones you can start with. I'm not 100% sure. Like Zazel or whatever the name was. So you can get a third party into your third person into your party. So if you can figure out how to get them out of the pod, which is not, you know, simple. But yeah, it's a whole thing. You kind of go through the last part where you're trying to take control of the ship and, you know, trying to keep it from crashing, because, you know, that would most likely kill all of you in that process. But yeah, you kind of go through this big old combat sequence and they're very much like trying to impress upon you like, oh, this thing's going to crash if we don't get over there, kind of thing. So that's the one time where you're kind of not wanting to kill the Mind Flayer that's in that area, because they're fighting a big demon general, I guess. But you're able to take care of a bunch of the lackeys there, which are not too tough. I'm on the medium difficulty. That's, you know, you get story and you get combat. The nice mix of both. They do have like a story mode that'll go easier on you in the combat stuff. And then there's a hardcore like tactical mode they have that's going to give you all the challenge you want. But yeah, being a D&D game, you get like 10 hit points at the start. So you have to kind of very much be careful with how you're taking damage. So if you're looting everything, you're going to get some decent amount of potions, but they also have some little health regeneration stations that you can just refresh your health whenever. But yeah, kind of got through that whole sequence and shit goes sideways You and the others fall out of the ship in the process and kind of get magically saved from just squishing onto the ground for at least two of the party members. One disappears in a way that you're told is likely them just not giving a shit about you. But from there, you kind of start exploring. That you can, you know, explore the remains of the ship and other stuff that's going on there. I met another character who was also in that initial round of potential, you know, main characters you could pick there. A high elf named Asterion, who certainly is a rogue, because you can kind of get...
Oh, yeah.
I got tricked into some little scheme he was trying to pull before I, you know, headbutted him to regain control of the situation before, you know, everybody realized, like, oh, we've all been messed up by the mind flayers, so maybe we should, you know, get together and, like, help each other out. Yep. So being a rogue, I did some fun stuff there. There's this, like, door that you run into. It's part of, like, a some sort of building, but you go, if you try to go in, it's a little bit of a tough thing to do because it's locked pretty good, unless you have some maybe thieving tools and that kind of stuff, and manage to get in with the help of my rogue friend. And that's a place that has a lot of traps around, and it's literally called a dank cave, so a lot of fun kind of going around trying to figure out some of the mechanics of this game, because it's very much a mechanics heavy game if you're not well versed in the D&D stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. And, you know, just remember, this is not like, you know, this, understand that because it's very heavily based around like D&D stuff, understand that the way like leveling and stuff works is not quite the same as it would in like a JRPG. Apparently in this game the level cap is at 12, which, you know, for any other RPG that's like, wow, that is very low, but remember, this is D&D rules, and 12 is actually pretty high. So, you know.
Yeah, my characters are at 2 already, but now they're very much like, oh, it's going to be like 400 XP until the next level.
Yep.
I know the curve is more exponential than, you know, your typical RPG.
Yeah.
For that. But yeah, kind of going through a big like dungeon area was pretty neat. So I did a lot of disarming of traps. Not necessarily because I had to for some of these, but having a rogue, my monk also has high perception as well. So as they're walking around, they're highlighting traps around for that kind of stuff. And so I was able to disarm a bunch of them, mostly through, which is where you kind of actually roll some die.
Oh yeah.
Or a die, a 20-sided die. And it's like, oh, you need 10 to disarm this. And it's like, all right, we can try that. And then based on your character stats, you might have some that are like, oh, you get +1 for this. You can also use other characters' abilities to accentuate that. My other party member has a thing that will add like a die that does like 1 to 4 extra, will add to it.
Yeah.
If you need it for that kind of stuff. And, you know, rolling did pretty well on all of that stuff. Kind of got all the way through this cave and managed to survive a big fight with a bunch of skeletons. So the abilities that I had that were like, oh, you know, causes bleeding and this kind of, you know, this is a hamstring shot, so it'll, you know, get their legs and keep them from walking so well, you know.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't work in the skeleton kind of thing.
Yeah, you definitely have to think a bit more strategically.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is a game going by D&D rules about as thoroughly as a game like this can possibly work. So, yeah. Got to think on it.
Yeah, and that involved a lot of skeletons that were like mages kind of stuff. So they were casting silence, which was sort of a big dome of silence. So if I could just run out of it, I could, you know, cast a spell or do attacks or whatever.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So That ended up not being too bad because it ended up being the toughest enemy that had like 28 hit points was the one that kind of got up to my team right away. So that kind of provided the biggest challenge. Once I realized like, oh, the rest of these are all weaklings. They're 10 HP. I could just go around and just destroy them. Especially when I realized one of my characters, my cleric, had a spell that turns undead to your side or whatever they call it, but essentially they just run from you with each of their turns until they turn back or they take damage. So I mainly just use that and then like, all right, I can just kill these now, and took them out in one hit pretty easily for both of them. So once you do that, you kind of deal with like the room you were trying to get into that triggered all this stuff happening, and like, oh, meeting a new character, very interesting. And they're just like, oh, asking you a question. And then they go about their day doing stuff, and pretty interesting stuff. But there was a door that I could not get into for whatever reason. It did not have a lock or any noticeable mechanism. So there's some stuff like that. I found a book with a lock on it, a key lock, which I ended up just punching it to break it because it was just the easiest way I could. Maybe the only real issue I've had with this game or thing I'm not 100% sure on is when I approach areas where they'll very much be doing like checks for you know, whatever you're trying to do. I kind of wish either it made it more obvious, or if I could switch to the party member that might be better served for that stuff. Because I had like one area before I just quit for the last session where I had this big like portal that opened up on this big rock face, and some dude arm was like sticking out of it. And I was like, oh, I can help him. Strength check. And I was like, oh, you just got to get a 10. And I had two opportunities to roll for this and failed both of them. So I lost a potential party member. I was like, ah, screw this. I'll just close it and not even save. So I'll be going back, seeing if I can do that. It's a game definitely you want to do hard saves or quick saves before you get into anything too nefarious, because you never know what you're going to get into with that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm liking it a lot so far. It's very much got a lot of interesting mechanics, and they do have like inventory management stuff that is, you know, very D&D-esque, where it's like, oh, there's, you know, you have like pouches and such that you
hold. A bag of holding, as they sometimes call it.
Well, there's a bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
I literally have just a chest in my inventory that I'm putting like extra weapons in that I don't need for the time being. So I'm assuming I'm going to get to a town. But like the start of like Original Sin, where you just kind of get to this big open area you can explore for a bunch of stuff. So you can kind of go around and you're finding a lot of dead bodies already. So you're just looting them, seeing what they got, a lot of gold and random items and stuff like that. So kind of just working my way around for that stuff and figuring out what I'm going to do. So far that's been pretty good. And they do throw in like dialogue options of like, oh, you're also a Baldurian, so you can kind of make some sort of reference to that, to this character, or, you know, different things that's related to, you know, your class, your species, your origin, all that kind of stuff that can add to the dialogue stuff here. So,
oh yeah,
a lot of neat stuff. So looking forward to put some more time into this. It seems to run pretty okay for my PC. Though for the stream I had to turn it all down to low, but seemed to work out pretty well for that. Still look pretty nice on low, so it wasn't too big of a deal. But yeah, that's been Baldur's Gate 3. Looking forward to put some more time into it. Just kind of got the start of it to go. So the weirdest thing is it starts its own launcher, a Larian launcher. So Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2, you can also launch from that. So it kind of keeps that all together. But they also recommend you sign up for a Larian account so that you can, you know, keep your save going back and forth if you're going from console to PC kind of stuff. So that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of the gist of Baldur's Gate 3, at least from what I've seen so far. So there you go for that.
Yep.
Let's see what else. I've been playing more American Truck Simulator. Their new DLC is out now. Oklahoma has been added to the game. So you've got kind of most of the Southwest there. Of the kind of desert and dirt-filled parts of the Southwest there. Oklahoma has 10 cities to it. Almost kind of a grid shape, like 3x3 grid shape with one other city in the like panhandle part of the state. I did a stream with this, did about four cities of delivering to. For that, the event they have going on requires you to deliver to or from all 10 cities in the state. So I'll eventually get the achievement that is just for Oklahoma for visiting all 10 cities. So working my way around that. Some of the notable stuff that Oklahoma has is a toll system that is cashless. So you don't even have to stop in the tolls. They'll just have you just keep driving through. I'm probably going faster than I should, but whatever. They're not cops. They're not going to ding me for that. There's also one that just happens on the highway. I forget what they call it. The Native American Highway, whatever they're calling it, turnpike kind of thing there. And they also have some rest stops that are between the two sides of the road. The two sides of the highways. So you can kind of more easily get in there, get your gas or get your rest on and get going. As well as if you're just trying to change sides, you don't have like a dirt path in the median to kind of make it real weird and grungy to get across. This kind of makes it a little bit easier. And I've driven through Oklahoma going across country drive, and that definitely is the thing I remember from there. So I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. But that's really cool. Addition, Kansas is the next one. So looking forward to that. Maybe that'll be out later this year, but later this year or early next year, I think. But yeah, that's Oklahoma. There is an issue with this game, or an issue at least with my version of it, where at night it can kind of bug out, where if you look out your driver's side window to kind of behind you, it can at night, it just gets pitch black in a way that like no headlights or road lights or anything shows up. So just kind of look back, you just barely see anything illuminating, and it's just a pitch black thing back there. So that's kind of annoying. So it gets me often to go to a road stop and rest up and just get back into the daytime to avoid that kind of stuff, so I can see behind me. The side view mirrors all show normal, but just when you try to look out manually outside your window, it kind of just looks all pitch black for whatever reason that bug's happening. But
yeah,
that's American Truck Simulator. And the other game I'm playing is Pikmin 4 on the Switch. I'm still enjoying this. I have rescued some more people. I've gotten to the point where I can do the nighttime stuff, which is what you do for any leaflings you find, which are the castaways you find that have, you know, no helmet on, and they have just big leaves all over their faces. It's like a mask or something like that that's taken over their face. You have to do the nighttime stuff to get the sap you need to make the cure for that. And so that is essentially like a survival mode where you are controlling these glow Pikmin that are kind of essentially ghost Pikmin, bright green glows, like glowing ghost Pikmin. You get an initial batch of like 10, and you just go around and gather these like star crystals that they take back to their little base area. And you need to keep that base protected. And sort of in this mode, you can have Ochi just kind of hang around the base to kind of further protect it. And as you get into the, it's like 5 to 10 minutes at most of, you know, a certain amount of enemies just swarming to your, to the base and taking that out. So you're just trying to go around, get these crystals to grow up the amount of Pikmin you have, and then taking out these enemies as they start approaching. So you're just trying to keep the base in as good a shape as you can. I don't know if there's a max or a minimum amount of health it needs to produce the sap so you can make the cure, but so far it hasn't been too much of a trouble. But if you do a few of those, you get there's like, oh, you can go to any of these places, any of these bases you've been in, the maps you've unlocked to do that stuff. So that's not too bad. But since it seems tied to the Leaflings, you maybe don't want to go unless you are either bored, I guess, or I guess you could maybe build up a reserve of the cures. But I've only been going for how many of these Leaflings I had as I unlock this, so that's about as much as I'm going to play of that. The other stuff I've unlocked, I got the ship with all the energy it needed, but I don't have any other maps unlocked just yet. I just have the three that I have at the moment, so I'm working my way through that. I got the upgrade to 50 Pikmin I can hold, so I got back and did 100% in the first map, so that's done. I'm working my way through the second map right now, which is not too bad. So now I have blue Pikmin, a blue Pikmin onion. It seems like there's more because there's one person that's giving me challenges for how many onions I can have. So I assume the other types, you're going to get the ability to spawn them as you need them. With grabbing all the pellets and creatures and whatnot, you can spawn more of them, I guess. So that's neat. But yeah, that's kind of it for the most part. I've gotten a bunch of castaways to add more people to give you more challenges to do. I did get a stylist who only lets you redo the options you had when you first make your character. They do not add any new like hairstyles or looks or anything like that. So that's a little disappointing, but that's been Pikmin so far. So Brandon, what have you been doing?
Well, as for me, unfortunately, unlike Chris, I cannot play Baldur's Gate 3 until September, in about a month, because unfortunately, if I tried to play it on my laptop, it would explode. So for the time being, I'm sort of having to fill the void with a bunch of other stuff. One of the things that, because I have a PS Plus subscription, one of the games that came out this month is Media Molecule's Dreams, which is basically a game designing tool with a bunch of pre-made games on it, a couple of them made by Media Molecule themselves. There's Art's Dream, which is the one that most people remember, and was quite good, if short. There's some other games on there, too, but they also added for this edition, when they decided to bring it to PS Plus, they let it go on there, they added their new game, which is called Train, T-R-E-N. And it's if you've played a Media Molecule game before, you kind of know how they are. They're very, they're not terribly complicated, but they are very well designed, and they often use a sort of arts and crafts sort of aesthetic and approach their design, and they're usually just very sort of cozy and nostalgic. And that's basically what Train is in a nutshell. It's essentially a game where you play a little sort of small remote control train that can go on wooden tracks. You can make the train go forward. You can make it go backwards. You can also make it boost forward. If you want to switch tracks, you know, you can control that as well. And that's basically the entirety of it. What makes the game so entertaining is the fact that it's just really pleasant. the majority of the game really is more or less time trials. You're going along these various tracks, and every so often you'll come across spots where you will then be going to entertain or, well, enjoy a specific new sort of smaller track where you are trying to get from one part of the track to the other as fast as you can without either derailing or crashing. And you can, and it's not as straightforward as you would think it is. It's essentially because you've got a bunch of obstacles anyway. You got ramps, you got loops, you've got elevators, you've got occasionally other remote control trains that are trying to bump you off, and a bunch of things like that. And there's also things like trying to carry little cargo boxes to the finish line, and stuff like that. But really, the joy of this game is just the sheer sort of coziness of it. Every new track that you try, you actually don't even need to do the time trial at first. You can just explore it at your leisure. And you'll want to because Media Molecule basically loaded every area of this game with all these like cute little dioramas made out of like toys and little plastic figures and stuff. And there's like a photo mode that you can use to keep track of everything. And it's just incredibly pleasant. It's very nice. It's just pleasant as can be and incredibly enjoyable. So if you've got a PS Plus discount, I mean, not a discount, an account, you know, you got a subscription, go ahead and try it. It's quite enjoyable and not, complicated in the least. But on the other end of the spectrum, we've also got Octopath Traveler 2, which I'm still playing. I made a little bit of progress on that one. Not as much as I would like to, but I have because there's just been so much that I've been doing stuff as far as games are concerned. And I'm also playing another game I can't talk about until towards the end of the month. It's a secret game. But it is, it's very enjoyable. I am liking it, but it is difficult. But, like I said, I just really, really wish I was playing Baldur's Gate 3 right now. In fact, I don't think I have wanted to play a game this badly in a long time. And keep in mind, the same day that this game comes out for PS5 is also the same day that Starfield comes out for Xbox. So, yeah, September is going to be a busy month for me, I'm guessing. But, yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, aside from Baldur's Gate, which I am not playing, I don't really have much of an interest in it. I probably will try it if it comes my way. I did lend it to Phil, so Phil's the one who's going to be doing that review for us. But told him to take a sweet time because, yeah, not a whole lot of sites have their review up. So, you know, why should we? But anyway, yeah, so I'm taking my sweet time with the whole, if you want to call this a lull, I'm taking my time with the lull. There isn't going to be anything I'm interested in until, probably Spider-Man. So it'll be quite a while for me. But anyway, I've primarily been playing Disney Illusion Island. That was the main thing I was playing last week, and I played a little bit more of it. Maybe about 6 hours in now, so probably about halfway through, I've been playing with my brother. I think I mentioned it last week, like you can use Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy. None of them actually differentiate from each other aside from like their attitudes and then their power-ups, which are all pretty much the same. So if you're expecting them to be like Mario, Luigi, Peach and Toad in Mario 2, it's not the case. So anyway, this game is pretty much like a standard Metroidvania. The main thing, though, that I do like is that if you come across a dead end that you can only get through with a certain ability that you don't have yet, it'll straight up tell you. So you don't have to worry about, you know, wondering whether or not you have what it takes to cross things. And it's pretty much like that. The main thing that's different as opposed to what I've played from a lot of Metroidvania so far is there doesn't seem to be a way to attack anybody. There was this boss fight where all I had to do was like jump to a certain platform, and it gets harder by just making the platforms harder to get to. But aside from that, there really isn't much of anything that'll really challenge you unless, you know, you want to be like me and only give yourself one heart. Because when you have one heart, you can only... There's no real way to find health unless you're at like a health pool, and those are few and far between. So yeah, really enjoying what I've done so far. As for the power-ups, I've unlocked a double jump. I've unlocked a swinging thing that'll allow that's pretty much like the grapple hook in the Metroid games. I've unlocked a ground pound that'll obviously allow you to break through certain platforms and just find new ways to traverse. And yeah, the map system is pretty well done. You always know where you are. You always know where you have to go. And, you know, as long as you're looking at the map closely, there's no real reason to struggle in the game, which is funny because, like, when I was younger, and, you know, I would assume this game is marketed towards kids, the map is nothing I would ever use. Like, for example, in Ocarina of Time, I just go through a dungeon just, you know, knowing the landscape. I never actually looked at the map. But, like, you know, now that I'm older and I understand, mm-hmm. like, you know, level design and stuff, the map definitely does help, especially in a Metroidvania game. But yeah, it is weird that there's no way to attack anything. I'm wondering if that's something that'll show up later. But so far, the platforming, just the controls are, they work really well. The game looks really nice too, both on handheld and the TV. The art style just really lends itself well to it. So if you're someone that appreciates classic Disney, like, you know, Mickey and Minnie are all dotty eyed, you don't have that little 3D effect. It's pretty much that vibe. I love the music. My brother is loving the music too. He's big as far as those vibes go. And yeah, really enjoying what I'm playing so far. But I'll probably jump back into more serious gaming soon now that I have my room pretty much where I want it to be. I just need to buy a floor chair. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, so let's get to some news. And first up here, Game Pass has announced their lineup for the next week or so. And it is not much to talk about here. Available as of now, there's Celeste for console and PC. Came out a few days ago there. And A Short Hike, also for console and PC, as of August 3rd. That's a nice little game. That's sort of an exploration adventure platformer. You're kind of just walking around talking to people. They might give you something to do, and then you just go do it. You can also find, like, feathers that give you extra, like, you know, double jump kind of stuff when you're getting around for that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of a chill kind of a exploration platformer kind of thing. As you're just kind of hanging around these, like, campgrounds and such. So that's a fun one to check out. Let's see, for August 8th on Tuesday here, Broforce Forever, console and PC. That's when this game launches on Xbox. It'll be on Game Pass. It's a side-scroller shooter, so lots of fun little silly bits in there as you're going around shooting enemies and checking out the sort of the bro nature of the game. This is sort of before bro kind of changed into something kind of more negative now, but here you go for a game with some extra content in it. So there you go for that. And yeah, on Wednesday, August 9th, Limbo will be on there for console and PC. It's a great, you know, side-scrolling puzzle platformer. But yeah, that game's been out for a long time, so hopefully you've checked it out at some point, but if not, now I guess is as good a time as any to check it out. Then on Thursday, August 10th, Airborne Kingdom. Let's see, this seems to be a city builder. You grow your unique town among the clouds and fly it across the wide open landscape, so that looks neat. And then the last one here, August 15th, that'll be, I think, next Tuesday. That is a space shooter game. Yeah, single player space shooter where you get loot for your ship. So that's the whole thing. You get to go explore the space areas, shoot up a lot of ships, and get some loot and make your ship better as you go around and explore more. So that's just on Xbox Series X and S. I think it might have been on PC Game Pass for a little while now. So, but there you go. That's when the new versions of that game come out for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S on August 15th. So there you go for that, and that's pretty much it. Not much to talk about here in the first half of the month.
No, not really.
So, yeah. There you go. But for PS5, they have a new firmware update for beta people to check out. Mm-hmm. This has a bunch of stuff in it. But let's see, some of their notable stuff here. They have second controller assistance so that you, if you're playing, you know, with a younger kid who may not be able to do everything in a game, you can play with them with the second controller, just acting as a single controller so that you can kind of pick up and help them out with things that they may be having trouble with, as well as maybe spouses who do not play games much, you know, be able to help them out however you need to. So that's a cool thing. Xbox has had that for a little while, so that's good to see here. Mm-hmm. The other accessibility option they added is haptic feedback for the system dashboard, so that if you remember the Wii remote back on the Wii, as you like navigated the UI, it kind of gave you a little bit of rumble to let you know you were kind of moving around between icons and such. On the UI, this kind of does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Nicely enough, it does some nice things where if you're, you know, moving to the right, you'll feel the bumps on the right side of the controller, or moving to the left on the left side, you know, up and down, same thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of stuff. When you get to the end of a list, it'll rumble in, you know, a little bit differently to tell you like you're at the end. So this kind of helps you better navigate and feel like where you're going. In the UI. So I have that on, and that's pretty nice. For that, they have support for Dolby Atmos-enabled audio devices. So the 3D audio stuff they have in the PS5 already can now be used with Dolby Atmos speakers and such. So people can use those now. So that's pretty nice for them. They've done some more stuff for the social stuff or parties and that kind of stuff. So there's that. Let's see, they have search in your library now, so you, if you have, you know, a shit ton of games in there, you can maybe find stuff a little more easily that way. So that's nice. And they seem to have the game help stuff in games sort of a little better organized with its own little pop-up box that can show you like stuff you've already done and what stuff may be coming up in the future in that game. So that's neat. And yeah, now they also will let you mute the PS5's beep when you start it up. If that's the thing that annoys you, you'll be able to turn that off. I like to have it on because it lets me know that I've actually turned it on. And the other update they added here is support for larger capacity SSDs, up to 8 terabytes now for the internal SSDs, which you do not want to use right now because they are upwards of, you know, $750 to $1,000 for an 8 terabyte SSD. It's better to stick to like 2 and 4 terabytes if you're going to get a little bit expensive, though twos are down around to 100, 150 at most for most of them. So if you're going to go for a little bit of extra money, 4 terabytes, probably where you're going to take a look at like $200 to maybe $300 for that at the moment. But yeah, the 8 terabytes, nice to have the support for that, but they're not that accessible price wise just yet. But there you go. Some nice update stuff there. For the next one that probably be out here in the next month or two. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. And then next up, we got some showcases happening for this week ahead. Mm-hmm. Monday, Devolver Digital is holding the Devolver Delayed Showcase. Yep. Announcing games that have slipped from 2023 to 2024. Or wait, they called the Devolver Delayed Showcase 2023 to 2024 edition. Mm-hmm. That'll be, yeah, Monday, August 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, as they describe it here, enjoy the art of video game delays and find out which of your most anticipated Devolver Digital published games are moving to next year. The future's future is here today. So there you go, having a little fun for games that aren't going to be coming out as soon as people might have hoped for. for that on Tuesday. Mm. Pokemon Presents will be happening. They say about 35 minutes of Pokemon news and updates. So I assume we'll see more of the DLC stuff they've got for the Pokemon games on Switch. Maybe some updates for some of the other games. I don't know if there's a likelihood of any sort of new stuff. Maybe we'll see more of Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Or Pikachu Detective Pikachu Returns, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume we'll get some gameplay for that, for people to see how that actually works. Let's see, maybe some Pokemon Sleep and Unite, since those are out and doing their thing.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm not sure if there's any chance of any new games getting announced just yet for that. But yeah, seems like one to check out. That'll be happening at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern for the very early crowd for that. So that might be something people here in the U.S. mostly wake up to find out what happened.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough to say like these are worth waking up for anymore, especially after coming off a big release already. I know we have the DLC along the way, and we have no dates on that, so we'll probably get that. We also had Pokemon Sleep come out like 2 weeks ago, so I don't know. Maybe we'll get another update on Detective Pikachu 2. Whatever would be nice. Pokemon's never a bad thing.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go. And that's it for August dates here. For September, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out here, I think, August 18th for Switch and PC. But for the other platforms, PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One, they finally announced that it'll be out September 1st. $40 for that game, for people to check that out. So, yeah, if you want your sort of Jet Set Radio influence, you know, extreme sports kind of thing going on, this is going to be the game for you for that. So, yeah, those looking pretty cool for that, with your graffiti and your tricks and such. So that'll be out here in a few weeks for people. So, yeah, there you go. And the other bit of news here, Sifu's getting its final content updates on September 7th for, yeah, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, sometime later on for the Switch. This will be adding, expanding the arenas mode with more locations and more fights with a bunch of familiar and unexpected foes. Yeah, 6 dynamic arenas, 75 challenges, more modifiers and cheats, as well as film-inspired outfits you can look forward to for that. So a lot of extra stuff there. As well as they mentioned, zombie-like enemies, doppelgangers, and interactive environments. So that sounds like some more cool stuff for that game. So yeah, that'll be out here next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these look interesting. Unfortunately, I never jumped back into Sifu until before the second deal. Oh, car driving fine. But yeah, I haven't jumped back since the first DLC thing. And I haven't beaten that game, but I love it so much. I made it my game of the year that year. I wonder if these modifiers still make some of the trophies obtainable. But otherwise, yeah. Sifu's fun. If you haven't played it, check it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm.
Let's get to some industry news. Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon on the Wii U have been dealing with server outages for most of this year, for about 5 months. As they announced, you know, please accept our sincere apologies for the extended waiting period. But yeah, these just kind of went down due to some, you know, unspecified vulnerability. We never got any additional details, but people speculated it was related to hacks that people had found vulnerabilities in that could let you gain control of other people's systems through online play kind of stuff. Yeah, data miner here said the security vulnerability is almost certainly ENL buffer pwn, which could allow an attacker to take over your console just by connecting to them online. This exploit affected many Nintendo's games on the Switch, along with Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. You've been paying attention. That's one of those games that got a random updates in the past few months.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, where people are like, why the fuck is this getting an update?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely to deal with potential like hack vulnerabilities to it. So luckily, they finally got these games back up. Posted a tweet the other day about it. And yeah, ended up not being, you know, as quick of fixes maybe they would have liked, but yeah, as they may have to discontinue these in the future if they continue to have issues, but for now, it's, you know, they're going to be fine offline either way, but yeah, if you have a Wii U or you're still with a Wii U, these are games you can get back to playing if you want to.
Yeah, good on Nintendo for making these fixes. I don't know how many people care, considering how little people own a Wii or still play these games for that matter, considering they're both on Switch and both of their online still work. At least they fixed something.
Yeah. Yeah, Splatoon's not on the Switch. 2 and 3 are. Mario Kart 8's still getting DLC, as people wonder when the hell they're going to make a 9.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 and 3 aren't that much different than the original one. Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's still different campaign to it, so... but yeah. And further Nintendo news. The quarter has ended, and Nintendo has announced, you know, sales figures, and particularly that The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom has sold over 18.5 million copies as of June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot. Probably as well as anything has sold for them over the past, 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that immediately puts it into the top 10 best-selling first-party Switch titles at number 9, right behind Super Mario Party and right above New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume it'll easily zoom past at least a few of those. Breath of the Wild sitting at 30.65 million. Number 4, we'll see if that can get to it by the end of the year. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But certainly done very well up front, which is great news for Nintendo, because it kind of gets them a good shot in the arm to keep the Switch train rolling until whatever the next system is going to be announced. As mm-hmm. they're just kind of swirling that it's going to definitely be next year, which mm-hmm. makes sense. But yeah, they still have not said a single thing about it, other than maybe the account system will carry over, which would be expected, hopefully. But yeah, there you go. Tears of the Kingdom doing very well. And
yeah, these are crazy numbers. Considering that Tears of the Kingdom is a sequel, and you know, it wasn't going to be as long as the original one. I mean, not even as long as it's easily longer. I never thought it would actually get to the top 10 that fast, but I was wrong about that one, so people can buy it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. Lots of people playing that game. Let's get to a little bit of Xbox news, some good Xbox news here. Microsoft has started putting up replacement parts for Xbox controller stuff on their Xbox website for purchase, so you can repair your controllers instead of just buying a new one and tossing out the old one, kind of keeping, you know, the e-waste hopefully to as little as they can. Though obviously the prices are a little expensive for what you're getting out of them. Like the Xbox Elite Wireless Controller PCBA is $50 here, which is a lot, but not so much for an Elite. They have like cases for the top of the Xbox Elite controllers and motor assemblies and replacement buttons and that kind of stuff, though the buttons are all in a big pack for all of them. So you can't necessarily get individual ones if you just need those. But, you know, these are things that not many other people are offering, at least first party wise. There are probably some places that do sort of third party product reproductions of these buttons and such for doing that. So this is a neat thing to help reduce the e-waste of controllers. And they do have a bunch of videos on there on the Xbox Support YouTube channel. So if you need to see that stuff being opened up, because that's definitely a big thing that people don't like to do, is open up their controllers and figure out how all that works. So this is a good tutorials that you can follow to do that stuff on your own. So yeah, there you go. Some neat stuff. But yeah, let's get to our last story here. Feminist Frequency is shutting down. Let's see, early 2024, after 15 years of operation. They have been a nonprofit organization for a very long time, though most people probably came to knowing them around the time that Gamergate started, as Anita Sarkeesian sort of put out a lot of these videos in the series called Tropes versus Women in Video Games that offered, you know, criticism of various tropes and such that weren't, like, you know, ridiculous or anything. There's a lot of, you know, fairly mild critique, but
most of it wasn't necessarily even new either. Like, it's statements that people have been making, not just about games, but about a lot of media for decades now.
Yeah.
And, but for whatever reason, she managed to just touch a nerve with these people that borders on the psychotic. And yeah, it really sucked being in the video games right around then. I will say, you know, as bad as it can sometimes be now, I don't think it's as bad as it was then.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot better. We went through Gamergate and all the hell that was, especially for any women in the media or the video game industry. But a lot of the work that Anita Sarkeesian did was, you know, an infinitely positive influence on the industry, getting a lot of developers to realize the sort of tropes they were dealing with constantly, and helping a lot of developers to realize that they could do better to diversify their cast of their games and their writing of women and all that kind of stuff, that you can definitely point a lot of the more positive female protagonists and characters in video games to the release of that series and a lot of the work she did with developers and talking to them and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, definitely wish Anita and everybody else that works at Feminist Frequency the best of luck. They're not shutting down everything. I think the YouTube channel and all the videos are still staying up, and the podcast is going to go for a while, for as long as they can. But the Feminist Frequency is a nonprofit organization, and that is shutting down. So they'll keep the other stuff that's more publicly accessible going for a while. So, and they've stopped accepting donations as of August 1st. So that's the whole thing. Anita put out a big statement just talking about how much burnout has affected her, and that it kind of has led to this decision to kind of shut down Feminist Frequency. So yeah, definitely wish her the best. So there you go for all that. So yeah, that is going to do it for the news of the week. And we'll kind of finish off here with the Smash Pad fall release preview. Little special here where we're not going to talk about everything that's on this list. If you want to see that, definitely check the show notes. I got a bunch of for the rest of August and into September. A lot of stuff here, a lot of stuff that you may not think is out that soon, but it is out very soon for a lot of this stuff. Yeah, like we got WrestleQuest that is out here on Tuesday for the big wrestling RPG thing that looks really neat. Let's see, we got Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, as we talked about, it's August 18th for Switch and PC, but on the other consoles, it's September 1st. And that's also the same time that Madden is out, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood are all out August 18th at that one point. So that's a big week right there for a variety of people. Fort Solace, the big survival horror game with Troy Baker and what's his name? Roger Clark, played the main protagonist of Red Dead Redemption 2. Those two are in a game together. Mm-hmm. That'll be out PS5 and PC on August 22nd, which is also when Immortals of Avium is out from EA on the new consoles and PC.
Yep.
So you got a lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. Blasphemous 2 is out on the new consoles, Switch and PC on August 24th, mm-hmm. alongside Firewall Ultra, the PSVR 2 game. And then the next day is Armored Core 6. So you got a lot of stuff there. And then August 29th is where everybody said, what if we put out our game here?
Yep.
Crossfire Sierra Squad for PSVR 2 and PCVR. Mm-hmm. Goodbye Volcano High for PlayStation and PC.
Yep.
Rhapsody Marl Kingdom Chronicles, the sort of classic RPG collection from Nipponichi Software America. PS5, Switch, and PC. Samba de Amigo, Party Central for the Switch is also then, and Sea of Stars is on everything, as well as the PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium and Game Pass. Mm. And Under the Waves, the weird little underwater adventure, spooky adventure game kind of thing, mm-hmm. is also on everything that same day. So
yeah,
you got your choices there for a bunch of stuff, as well as Trine 5. They made another one of those. Yep. That's mm-hmm. on everything August 31st. That's your August.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff there for people to check out. So, yeah, a lot of games to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Smash Pad follower, it's no secret what I'm going to assume for me and Brandon, our August would be. I know that we mentioned Baldur's Gate earlier, but that'll be I have next month. But Sea of Stars is definitely the big release for me here.
Same here.
Obviously, it's a really crowded the weekend with Crossfire, Sierra Squad, Goodbye, Volcano mm-hmm. High, Rap, there you go. Under the Waves. Yeah, all that's pretty much not going to matter to me once Sea of Stars comes out. I'm expecting a code like anytime soon, so that's why I'm just trying to be very conservative with my gaming timer. For me, particularly, just WrestleQuest coming out in a couple days. Played some previews, really liked what I played, huge wrestling fan, and it's wrestling is something that really lends itself well to turn-based combat, because when you think about it, kind of is. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. And Moving Out 2 is also one that I'm also interested in from a party game perspective, because the first one was just so fun to play, and I played the second one at a preview event. August looks good.
Yeah. Goodbye Volcano High is probably the game I'm most interested in of these games. I played the demo for that on Steam, and that is looking really cool. It's sort of a narrative adventure game of sorts.
Yeah.
So that one's looking really cool, and yeah, I'll check out Sea of Stars on PlayStation Plus for that. So yeah.
I also didn't realize that Armored Core 6 was so soon. I thought that was like next year. I feel like that was like announced a few months ago. So crazy there.
Yeah. It kind of was, and then they haven't really revealed too much in the way of gameplay until pretty recently in the past month or two. Where I was like, oh, you guys are not putting that out sooner? As far as the gameplay and all that, but yeah, they're still doing their stuff. But let's see, September. More stuff's coming out. As I mentioned, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is out on PlayStation and Xbox at the first of the month. But then we get into some more indie stuff with Chance of Sinar. It's PlayStation, Switch, and PC, September 5th. There's a demo that, at least on PlayStation, maybe Steam and Switch as well. But yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 out on PS5, September 6th, alongside Starfield on Xbox and PC.
Mm-hmm.
So the RPG nerds will have a field day there.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will.
So yeah, you got that. Then September 8th, the two polar opposite of gaming, Fae Farm, your relaxing life sim farming game, will be out on Switch and PC, and then NBA 2K24 on everything, with all the more stuff that NBA 2K does. I guess the special edition features Kobe Bryant because they go through like three legends, LeBron, Michael Jordan, and Kobe Bryant. They can't find any more. There are no other NBA legends they could center games around. But there you go for that. Let's see. We got some more stuff here in the middle. Mythforced on everything, September 12th. Super Bomberman R2, that's still a thing. It's on everything September 13th. Bat and Kaitos 1 and 2 HD remasters, only on the Switch, September 14th. But on the other platforms that same day is the Crew Motor Fest, the very Forza Horizon-esque The Crew game will be available there for people to check out. So, yeah, there you go for that stuff. Then the following week, December 19th is a big one. There's The Legend of Nayuta, Boundless Trails on PS4, Switch, and PC. As well as Lies of P and Mortal Kombat 1. For you got your fighting game, you got your RPG, and you got your, you know, Bloodborne Souls-like kind of game. To serve a lot of audiences there.
Yeah.
September 21st, you got Eternites for PlayStation, PC, and Payday 3, where we can see if Payday still rates with audiences. Payday 2 was very huge, but 3 is kind of coming up really fast somehow, and I don't know if that's there's still an audience for that that game series. So, but let's see. September 26th has a bunch of stuff, indie stuff. Mineko's Night Market for Switch and PC. My Time at Sandrock for everything, and Paleo Pines for everything as well. Those last two are kind of life sim farming games, you know, Stardew Valley likes, but these are both in 3D. And Paleo Pines, you get to ride dinosaurs and use them for your farming stuff, so you get a little cool thing there. Let's see, September 28th, got Disney Speedstorm going free-to-play out of early access, really fast, compared to Disney Light Valley, whatever that game is called. I forget their life sim game that's still in early access as it moves along. But let's see. Also on the September 28th is Infinity Strash, Dragon Quest, The Adventures of Dai for everything. So that'll be another Dragon Quest game, but not your typical kind of Dragon Quest game. I think it's more of an action RPG kind of game.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you end the month on September 29th with Cocoon for everything in EAFC 24, the new form of FIFA. Where FIFA's, you know, made claims that, like, nobody's going to buy this game without the FIFA name, and I think they're going to be very mistaken on that. So, yeah, there you go. September, lots of stuff here. And, yeah, for me, I think I am very much interested in, Cocoon, Eternites. Those look really cool. Lies of P will be on Game Pass, so I'll definitely be checking that out.
Oh, yeah.
I'll check out Starfield as well. That's also on Game Pass. So, and maybe at some point a Mythforce or a Bat Kaitos on a good sale. But right now, not much time for that here in the next month or two. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. Brandon, what are you interested in of these games here?
Well, you already know the big one, but on top of that, I'm also interested in, you know, Starfield. I just want to see how that game ends up because, you know, let's be honest right now, Bethesda, their last release was a shit show from the beginning, and I'm hoping maybe they've learned a lesson at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah. What I'm hoping is, they've learned their lesson at this point, considering just how absolutely awful Fallout 76 was. But then again, I know Bethesda's track record, and I know that even if they did do really well on this game, it's still going to be full of bugs out of the gate. It always is. It's what it's almost a brand at this point. Even Skyrim, when it first came out, you know, it was still a lot of fun, but it was buggy as all hell. That said, though, I'm also looking forward to, you know, Sea of Stars, like Danreb said. I'm also looking forward to Goodbye Volcano High, just because I want that game to succeed so badly. And it does look interesting. I will give it that. Also, I do want to do Armored Core when I get a chance to get around to it. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to, though. But, yeah, because I've seen, like, a bunch of previews and that. I'm like, yeah, this is right up my alley. And I love the fact that they really have sort of taken, like, a lot of inspiration from their Souls games. Because, you know, if you play you watch the demos and stuff, it's very clear that they've gotten some ideas from that. But it also, it just looks fun. Yeah, that's pretty much what I can't wait for.
How about you, Danreb?
Yeah, as far as September goes, it's definitely not as strong as August. I mean, August, I was able to name a few there. With September, you know, obviously the biggest ones are going to be Starfield and FC24. Neither of those games are really my cup of tea. I will definitely try Starfield, considering the fact that, you know, it'll be available on Xbox Game Pass day one. But, you know, Bethesda pretty much being a meme at making your game, like, not all that, you know, polished on day one is sort of going to be a guarantee. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that this is going to be Bethesda's real chance at, you know, redemption from whatever happened with Fallout 76. That being said, just looking at September in a nutshell, the one that I'm most excited for is probably going to be a combination of both Legend of Nyota Boundless Trail as well as Lies of P. The former being, you know, part of the Trail series, but not necessarily a confirmed part of the Trail's mythos and universe, or at least not with the current sagas at hand. And it's also going to be an action-based battle system, so it shouldn't be like as involved as the other games, but it should be a breath of fresh air as well. One of the main things that I don't talk about enough when it comes to the Trails games is art style. And this one definitely does lend itself well to the genre. And then there's Lies of P. You know, they had another during Summer Games. This is the one that's pretty much a Souls-like with the whole Pinocchio story here. And I'm looking forward to that being coming out. And then the other one that probably isn't going to be as high on most people's radar, but Turnites. This is one that immediately caught my eye at some point. And this one sort of plays itself like Persona crossed with a little bit of visual novel here. And along with like a weird dating system. But it seems like it takes a little bit more of a risque vibe than Persona does. But, you know, considering it's done by an indie, I wouldn't mind giving it a chance. Again, as a whole, it's not going to be as strong as August. There are some other games that Mortal Kombat 1, definitely Mortal Kombat 1 to that. That's a game that I never got a chance to. There hasn't been a preview build in a while, so something I've gotten a chance to try, but it looks fun on every aspect. And there are some smaller games that I have my eye on, but day one. So NBA 2K24, just because like they haven't really changed over the last few years. Super Bomberman R2. I enjoyed the one that came out during the Switch's launch, but I also feel like Bomberman hasn't really reached amount of fun since like the GameCube days. There's Baten Kaitos 1 and 2. Then again, those games were awkward in the GameCube days. Every preview that I've seen so far, out of like trailers and stuff, didn't look all that great to me. Like, I wasn't a fan of some of the lower thirds being used. The texts all look weird, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. But if it drops on sale, I'll probably just pick it up. But yeah, out of September, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of stuff here. We'll probably do October, November, maybe December here next week, or maybe in a couple of weeks, depending on how the story lineup looks. So
yeah,
But yeah, so neat stuff. Definitely games to keep an eye out for here in the next month or two. So yeah, that's going to do it for this week. So thank you to Brandon and Danner for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and, you know, cool stuff to talk about. We'll be, you know, probably talking a little bit about whatever the Pokemon news is. If there anything of note happens, probably at least a date for the DLC for that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. So, but yeah, if you enjoy the show, if you let friends and family know, they should check out the podcast. And select strangers that, you know, are also excited about Pokemon sleeping with their Pokemon.
Yep.
All the things that entails. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.